or you could join the lament of the UK Major Ports Group, whose members have spent hundreds of millions of pounds building checking facilities, which now stand unused as bespoke white elephants. But put all of that aside for now, just for a moment, and grasp the full meaning of Jacob Rees-Mogg's admission. He and his fellow Brexiters once looked forward to these border checks, seeing them not merely as a price worth paying for leaving the European Union, but as a genuine benefit. Britain would at last be free to set its own food standards superior to the European Union's. And yet, now the minister admits that putting up barriers just makes food more expensive for British consumers and risk bankrupting British farmers. Precisely the act of self-harm that Remainers always said it would be. The irony of hearing Jacob Rees-Mogg declare that free trade is hugely advantageous to consumers after he and his comrades pulled us out of the largest, most successful free trade bloc in the world, namely the European single market, would be funny if it weren't so bitter. At a stroke, the Minister for Brexit Opportunities has implicitly admitted that there are none. Or, at the very least, any opportunities are outweighed by costs so great that they represent economic self-mutilation. In the long story of Britain's needless and pointless departure from the European Union, the Rees-Mogg admission should count as a milestone. Which is not to say the Conservatives won't keep banging the Brexit drum, hoping it will rally the electoral coalition it summoned back in 2019. But the sound, always hollow, will now be hollower still. Thanks to Jacob Rees-Mogg, the Brexiteers themselves have admitted as much. This matters not just as a twist in the Brexit saga, but for the life expectancy of this government. For Brexit was this government's founding purpose, when the best that even the loudest advocates for that project can promise is a delay in its realisation, it's clear the drive has gone. And without such a goal, a destination to aim for, governing parties drift and become vulnerable. If the two usual determinants of an incumbent administration's popularity are the economy and the personal standing of the leader, those now combine dangerously for the Conservatives. The cost of living crisis is both deep and wide, reaching into families that had previously been getting by, albeit with a struggle. It's the mother living off a tin of soup for herself so that her children can eat. It's the parent getting the kids to change into pyjamas when they get home from school to avoid wearing out their school uniforms. But this crisis runs in parallel with Partygate, each revelation of indulgence at No. 10 Downing Street affronting not only those who followed the rules and denied themselves contact with loved ones during lockdown, but all those who do not have the money to put bread on the table, let alone pay for a suitcase full of booze. This is a Marie Antoinette government, pampering itself while too many of its people go hungry. The usual alibis are no longer working. The much-trumpeted vaccine rollout is increasingly offsetting the public mind both by Partygate and the handling of the first phase of the pandemic. Witness this week's High Court ruling that discharging people from hospitals into care homes was both irrational and unlawful. A new opinion poll shows a sharp decline in the number of voters ready to forgive those early decisions just because they're glad they got the jab. Nor does law and order any longer offer its traditional comfort to the Conservatives, not when new figures show overall crime has increased by 18% in the past 2 years, with the proportion of those charged down to just 5.8%. On almost every issue, from inflation to immigration, from tax to housing and the National Health Service, big majorities think the government is handling things badly. Only on defence and terrorism do the Tories get positive marks. No wonder they like to hail Boris Johnson as a leader on Ukraine, though that is of limited political value. Most voters surely sense that today's Labour Party would not be doing anything different. In normal circumstances, you would say this spells doom for Boris Johnson. He lags behind Labour and Keir Starmer on the two big ones, the economy and the leadership. People are far worse off than they were, and they have lost all trust in Boris Johnson. His government is stripped of its defining purpose, leaving it exposed to daily squalls and scandal. And yet, while the evidence is strong that voters are making the break from this government, they're not yet fully sold on the alternative. The old line says it's governments that lose elections rather than oppositions that win them. But changing governments is a two-stage process. First, the electorate moves away from the incumbent party, then it moves towards the challenger. Labour and Keir Starmer have work to do on that second stage, but the first phase is well underway. And Jacob Rees-Mogg's accidental truth revealed one reason why.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
پیغمبر اکرم نمونه.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از ایمان.
Self purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. Stay tuned.
اتفاقا در روایت داریم عزیزان همین خداوندی که روز اول ماه رمضان
We read in a narration by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that Allah out of his mercy forgives all sinful people at the beginning of the month of Ramadan except those who have grudge in their hearts towards Muslims Islam and its teachings Of course here Spiteful deeds include revenge, suspicion, enmity in heart, etc. Such people have to find a way to solve their ethical problems so that Allah can forgive their other sins in the month of Ramadan too.
آدمای حسود
Envy, hate, suspicion, and arrogance are not forgiven easily since they have roots in the heart of the people, and besides Allah, there are some people who are hurt by such feelings. Allah can easily forgive such misbehaviors today. However, from tomorrow, such hateful people might start doing their bad actions again. As a result, in the month of Ramadan, all the sins can be forgiven, except those sins which are rooted in the hearts of the people towards their brothers and sisters in faith or towards the Islamic teachings in general. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is what Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, told her loving husband, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, on her deathbed. Let my death not dishearten you. You have to serve Islam and humanity for a long time to come. And let not my sufferings embitter your life. Please promise me, O Ali.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله
Just as faith from the every outset was the source of the movement's success, your massing together because of the faith in your hearts led your crushing victory over satanic powers. People had nothing except their cries of, "There is no God but Allah, and Allah is the greatest." It was faith that took them to the victory and by which all the calculations of the regime turned out wrong. They had reckoned that unarmed people would not be able to overpower those equipped with these modern weapons. These calculations proved to be wrong because they had not taken spirituality into account. They had just considered the material aspect. Spiritualism triumphed over materialism. Allah triumphed over Satan. It is always so.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. In one of his speeches, he says that unpurified knowledge is more harmful than ignorance. We are striving in order to gain purification. Why is it important? It is important because when our soul is purified, then obviously we can benefit the most from the light of guidance. Because Allah says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the close guardian of those who believed. He takes them out of darknesses towards the light, towards the nur. And knowledge is again a nur. The way we said that in the Quran, it is said when Allah refers to the holy books which were revealed upon the prophets, when he talks about the book, he says that it is a nur. There is a light in it. This knowledge is nur. And he puts this nur into the soul of the ones whoever he wishes. So the knowledge is nur. Therefore, Imam Khomeini says that if someone has unpurified knowledge, it is more harmful than the ignorance. Why? Because if the nur is not purified, if the knowledge is not purified, it means that the person, without having any purification of soul, without reforming himself, without having an inner purification, is going towards the knowledge. And when he gains that knowledge, this knowledge brings arrogance in him. This knowledge brings
self-loving in him. This knowledge brings the love of this material world. This knowledge takes him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This knowledge takes him away from justice. This knowledge makes him an oppressor.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi.
When he says unpurified knowledge, it is referred to a knowledge which has been gained without purification, without the purification of the soul, which we are striving in the month of Ramadan. We want to have this purification. So this unpurified knowledge is basically something that brings darkness, and it is more harmful than ignorance, because the person who have ignorance, who does not know about it, when he talks about something, it is due to the ignorance that he has. But the person who knows the things and it is impurified, obviously he is talking out of arrogancy, out of oppression, and sometimes purposefully they hide what they know, they hide the truth. And that is why Imam Khomeini has said that unpurified knowledge is more harmful than the ignorance.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
These days, it's easier than ever to get lost in the virtual world. A unique museum in the U.S. is using augmented reality for visitors to plug into a thrilling experience about the Earth's environmental challenges. The New York Museum is called Arcadia Earth. It offers a large-scale multisensorial journey through underwater worlds, mountains, savannas, and inspirational fantasy lands. Each exhibit is brought to life through immersive technology and animated by augmented and virtual reality, including projection mapping. One installation is made of 44,000 plastic bags, the amount used in New York every minute before a plastic bag ban was implemented. The museum founder says the goal is to raise awareness about the impacts of climate change in a fun way.
The intention is to inspire people to come and leveraging game and immersive beauty to deliver a message. And I think that if this technique were to be used in school, we will so learn much more, and every kid will want to go to school. And at the end of the day, the purpose is just to deliver the message. The tools are just techniques. So I really think that this technique, it's super fun and will work for everyone.
Vittori added that the experience is meant to encourage people to be proactive in protecting the planet. The exhibit also spotlights other environmental challenges such as overfishing and food waste. Proceeds from tickets sold are used to plant mangrove trees. This exhibit has been held in several cities across the United States, and each time proceeds have been used to support various environmental causes. Appearing like something straight out of a sci-fi movie, this Gundam-style robot lifts off special equipment and carries out maintenance work on out-of-reach railway contact lines in Japan. Developed by West Japan Railway Company JR West and two other Japanese companies, the humanoid robot can conduct repair work on overhead wires, which are considered high risk for humans. According to JR West, the prototype of this robot can be controlled by human operators through VR helmets and remote controls. It can lift objects up to 40 kilograms in weight with two hands to a height of 10 meters. It was designed to lower the risk of electrocution and falling for workers. The company says it can cut down human labor by a third. The company has been conducting tests since April and expects to put the robot into full service by early 2024.
A child-sized doll screams and rolls its eyes while lying on a table as engineer Hiroki Takimoto looks on calmly. But instead of being a child's toy, the doll is a humanoid robot mimicking critical medical symptoms designed to train dental workers. The robot was co-developed by Japanese robotic startups Team Sock and a local dental school. Pediaroid was designed to stimulate a child's responses when receiving dental treatment, including changes to its medical condition. Using a tablet programmed with different medical conditions, the user is able to send signals to air cylinders installed within the robot's joints to move its entire body, mouth, and tongue to display physical reactions and facial expressions.
Medical workers really need to experience medical emergencies. It's important that they experience a situation where something goes wrong, and that's what it can simulate. As for the future, we would like to further develop it in such a way that various other people who are involved with childcare, such as mothers, elementary school teachers, childcare workers, and nurses, can experience emergency simulations.
Director of Team Sock's engineering division, Yusuk Ishii, said the robot was developed due to the lack of clinical dental training to treat children. Currently, at a hefty price tag of about 25 million Japanese yen, TimSock hopes to develop the hyper-realistic robot further, such that people from other childcare industries, including pediatricians and elementary school teachers, would be able to use it for other emergency situation training. Iran has hosted an iftar dinner in support of Palestine amid a rise in Israel's violence against Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the holy month of Ramadan. Yusuf Jalali reports from Tehran. Let's check it out.
Turn the pot over to let the tasty maqluba slip into the dish. Maqluba is a Palestinian upside-down rice, usually cooked with chicken or lamb. Now, these Iranian and Lebanese women have taken part in a group cooking of maqluba as a solidarity gesture with Palestinian women amid the escalation of the Israeli violence against Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. They say maqluba is not just a delicious food, but a symbol of the downfall of Israel.
Maqluba is indigenous to the Levant area, such as Lebanon, Syria, and especially Palestine. The last stage of the food's recipe is to run over the pot that contains the food. Today, it has become a symbol of victory for Al-Quds and a defeat for Israel.
Turning over the pot symbolizes the downfall of Israel. Interestingly, Israel has imposed a ban on the entry of pots into Al-Aqsa Mosque since they have come to learn about what it means to turn over the maqluba pots.
Since the start of the month of Ramadan, Israeli forces have been assaulting Muslim worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, injuring scores of people. The escalation in tensions has drawn worldwide condemnation, with protesters calling on the UN to take action to end the regime's crackdown against Palestinians.
Palestine is for Palestinians. Israel has been repeating its barbaric behavior towards Palestinians since 7 decades ago, and today it has taken its violence to another level by doubling down on its use of force. I think they are angered by Palestinians' resistance, and that's why they have resorted to violence.
This humanitarian move is one of tens of solidarity gestures staged in Iran and worldwide in support of Palestinians. The event also comes ahead of the International Quds Day, a global pro-Palestine rally that takes place every year on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan.
Enjoy the maqluba and wish Palestinians good luck in their struggle against occupation. Chefs here say, aside from symbolizing the victory of Al-Quds against occupation, this event seeks to raise awareness of the Palestinian suffering and to call on other nations to jump on the wagon and voice their support for Palestine's resistance. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A museum in France is hosting treasures of Peru, including the famed Machu Picchu, in a unique experience where technology meets archaeology. Visitors can immerse themselves in a vertical tour of Machu Picchu Citadel and see an exclusive exhibit of Peruvian archaeological objects. The collection is arranged chronologically, passing through the extraordinary diversity of some 13 cultures. The collection displays 200 artifacts spanning 3 millennia, dating as far back as 1500 BC. A large part of the exhibit is dedicated to Peru's Machica civilization with their vase portraits and red ceramics. The museum's curator says the goal was to show that pre-Columbus Peru was far deeper than just the Inca era. Iran's National Museum is displaying a collection of artifacts that was stolen decades ago but has finally returned home after a long legal battle. The items which include sacred figurines, pots and jars, date back to more than 3,000 years ago. They were stolen and sent to the West more than four decades ago. In 1991, the British Museum was seeking to buy the collection from a smuggler residing in Switzerland. The objects, however, were seized by Swiss police and revealed in court in 2008. Since then, Iran had been trying to get the stolen treasures back home.
Under pressure from the Iranian diplomatic apparatus and the official complaints of the National Museum in 2015, the legal process continued, and finally on December 20, 2020, the collection returned to us.
The collection belongs to the northwestern city of Bukhan, which was the home of Manians around the 10th to 7th centuries BC. The Manians were one of the first nomadic tribes to build cities in that area. The director of Iran's National Museum says the effort to recover other stolen artifacts continues. The country is now holding talks with the US and Australia to return ancient objects smuggled over there.
How long could you work at your job? In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do, and there you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turned barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, today's special, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special under the topic of keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. Please be with us.
Oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today, Monday, is the 30th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran. This is chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 39 to 42.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Fayawma idhin la yus'alu an dhanbihi insun wala jan.
Then on that day, none will be asked about his sin among men or jinn.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ.
The criminals will be known by their marks, and they will be seized by the forelocks and the feet.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Following an account of the formative occurrences of resurrection, the blessed verse 39 treats of the state of sinners on that day, saying that jinn and men shall not be questioned concerning their sins, since everything shall be evident on the day of emergence, and faces reflect everything. However, the point is that the day of resurrection shall be a very long day, and man has to pass different paths and stations, and spend some time at each place. In this part, our topic, keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. We all know that one of the purposes of Ramadan is for us to develop taqwa. Ramadan is like a training period for us. Hence, we shall try to follow the rhythm throughout the whole year. Generally, habits take around 21 days to form. Therefore, after the 30 days of Ramadan, we shall aim that whatever we learned in the month is carried forward to the rest of the year. May Allah keep us on the right path and give us the motivation to make every month as blessed as the month of Ramadan. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin nasta'in. In this episode, we're going to be concerned with our duties regarding the effects of the month Ramadan in us throughout the year. Since this kind of fasting brings about, thorough fasting or complete fasting brings about the divine attention and divine grace because of our sincere observances of these rites and rituals, it would be very much desirable to receive such grace of such divine grace, not only in the month Ramadan, which is especially selected for receiving the divine grace. Rather, we find that the month Ramadan, the effects of the psychological or ritual effects of the month Ramadan may and should be extended to other months throughout the year. That is, although in other months of the year we are permitted to eat and drink, however, we must be attentive to our religious duties, to the religious capital that we have received throughout observing the Ramadan rituals, and to be able to benefit from this religious capital throughout the year, up to the next Ramadan to come. Because of this, we are expected to practice piety in other months of the year. It would be really pointless to observe religious piety in the month Ramadan and to ignore it altogether in other months of the year. It would mean that we believe in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in the month Ramadan, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present throughout the year, no doubt. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere and at any time, so we have to behave in such a way that our behavior and our way of, our mode of treating other people indicates that we believe in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, it's expected to internalize in ourselves the ritual or spiritual effects of the month Ramadan and the benefit that we receive from this religious capital. Thank you.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
IRIB English Radio, and today's special you're listening to. Now we have some ways to practice Ramadan values throughout the year. In this part, practice Islamic spirituality in your daily routine. Dear friend, gathering at your local mosque for nightly prayers may be over after Ramadan. However, there are other ways to incorporate faith-based practices in your day-to-day basis besides answering the regular call to prayer. If you live near a mosque, consider praying there during other prayers time besides Friday prayers. Pray as a family to form closer bonds with your parents or your children, living with housemates. Praying together is one way to get to know them better. Make it a point to do after every prayer and before going to sleep at night. The other way is this one. You can dhikr and supplicate at any time of the day. Try it next time you're stuck in traffic or even during your workouts. And the other one is making time to recite the Quran daily. Accompany your reading with a good translation to build a better understanding of Islam. Previous episodes of today's special that we looked at some ways to promote better health by fighting inflammation, we continue that. While acute inflammation is a normal immune process used to help fight off infections, chronic inflammation can have serious consequences for your health. Research shows that inflammation may be involved in the development of chronic conditions such as heart disease, cancer, and arthritis. Some studies have found that fasting can help decrease levels of inflammation and help promote better health. One study in 50 healthy adults showed that the intermittent fasting for 1 month significantly decreased levels of inflammatory markers. Another small study discovered the same effect when some fasted for 12 hours a day for 1 month.
One of the most important things to keep in mind when we try to maintain our spirituality is, you know, there's a beautiful conversation between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi and Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this was after the Prophet delivered his famous month of Ramadan sermon. After the Prophet delivered this sermon, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib approaches the Prophet and he asks him, and many of you are familiar with this exchange, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, ma afdalul a'malu fi hadha shahr? What is the best thing to do in this month, in the month of Ramadan? What does the Prophet say? And by the way, the question that the Imam is asking doesn't only apply to the month of Ramadan. This is the best thing that you can do in the month. If it's the best thing to do in the month of Ramadan, then you can imagine that it's probably the best thing to do in life. مَا أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالُ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرِ What is the best thing to do in this month? Listen to what the Prophet says. He says, أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالُ الْوَرَعُ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ The best thing that you can do is to refrain from committing sin.
Inshallah, we continue our topic that was keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive on another episode of today's special. Until then, we keep you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah. القرآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح
لا يهوي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يهوي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان طمأن طمأن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.